Hello, and welcome back to the Misfits Podcast, rated 5 stars on iTunes by I Dunk My Balls in Soy Sauce. They say, Vince, have you ever small cock? Thank
what?
You.
What was that middle part?
I don't know. It sounded like it was a long scream.
Wait, was that in reference to the fact you can taste soy sauce in your nuts or some shit?
Yeah.
Last podcast, we did talk extensively about, well, maybe you can taste the soy sauce if you dip your
was
nuts
in. Was that 2 or 3 podcasts ago?
Listen, does it really
matter? Days are blending together.
My nuts and soy sauce ever since, and I ain't tasting anything. I don't know about you.
Someone should dip their nuts in Gamer Subs.
Someone should dip their nuts in Gamer Subs, which, by the way, is also our sponsor. Go to gamersubs.gg and use code Misfits for 10% off. Energizing us for years.
Fun fact, we were over Ryan Pease the other day, and we saw on Twitter a friend of ours, Goonin, was blasting his Gamer Subs with a blowtorch. And it was turning the Gamer Subs into small melted balls that would then solidify. And then he would pick them up and eat them like a little snack. And no so way. I thought, like, whoa, we have to fucking try this. No, we have to fucking try this. So I asked Ryan, hey, can I borrow your blowtorch? And he goes, what for?
The dab blowtorch, right?
Yeah, the dab blowtorch, the one they use for the dabs. I go, can I borrow the dab blowtorch? He goes, what for? And I go, hey, I wanna try this thing that Goonin's trying out. And he goes, sure. And so I get one of those like little cookie trays, and I like a little baking sheet, and then I put a bunch of Gamer Subs, different flavors, onto the tray, and then I blast it with the blowtorch, and believe it or not, it actually worked. It made these small little balls, and it melted it down.
Do they like form into the balls on their own? Like,
wait, really?
Yeah. So, like, the ones that melt come together, and then they like roll off of the powder, and then you just wait a little bit, you blow on it, and then you can pick it up and eat it. But like, I tried it.
Point? Does it like taste good or?
Oh, it tastes really, really strong, but it's like sour because it was the dragon fruit that I tried it with, and it was. You know, you bite into it, you know, you pucker your lips. You're like, ooh, this shit hits hard. But like, understandably, if you got a scoop, of that shit and you melted it all down, we managed to mold them into like little tablets. I call them gamer drops. And then you just, you pop it in your mouth, you suck on them. And then that's how you get your caffeine.
Wow. Oh, wait, so the, wow. I guess the caffeine still completely hits, right? Like in this
form. Of
course. You say one ball is like a scoop? It's probably a few scoops, no?
Like, a ball? No.
What's the size? Are we talking like gumdrop? Are we talking like a little marble? Like what are we talking about?
It's a scoop's worth. Just melt it down. Okay. And then melt it down to the goo. You grab the goo and it's still malleable. Then you press it into a pill.
Wow. So if you want to consume Gamer Subs like a heroin addict, then go ahead and get your blowtorch and eat it up over a spoon. Why not?
Otherwise, you could be like the rest of us and snort it.
Don't actually do that. Snort it, I mean. Feel free to melt it down with a blowtorch and munch on it. Different flavors yield differing results. I tried the newest flavor, which is yet to be released. I tried to burn it down. But it wouldn't work as well. If anything, it was just kind of scorching and burning it. But it still did taste okay. So there you go.
Is it irresponsible in today's climate to say something as if it's true, even though you're joking, and then not acknowledge that it's a joke afterwards when you're on a podcast like this? Like, do we really have to clarify, like, every time we're joking about something? Because if we don't, that people will do it. You know what I mean?
I mean, we did a whole podcast where we talked about murdering someone.
Yeah, which I love.
That we actually did, though.
To me, like the fact that you have to be like, by the way, that was a joke, kind of kills it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's also, we know from being in this position that a lot of people just believe the things we say.
Yeah. We've made a lot of jokes that people believe.
It's really peculiar.
And also, I mean,
are we responsible for that? Or like, should we just like be idiots?
The only reason I was clarifying that was a joke was because it concerns your sponsor.
Oh, I know.
But not the well-being of the fucking audience. That's not what you care about, right?
Oh, well, the well-being of the audience comes second to the happiness of the people that pay us. I'm just fucking around. That was a joke.
There's also the other side of the coin. The other side of the coin is the people. I mean, there's so many people that will believe all the jokes we say are true. somehow. But then there's the other side of the people who don't believe the serious shit and assume everything's a joke.
Right, right.
Which I know there's also a lot of those as well. There's
which it, like I guess is the weirdness of like the slight parasocial relationship we're in where they know some of who we are and some of our ideas, but they don't know all of them. And they don't like really know for sure because they don't actually fucking, you know, they haven't actually met us, most of these people, you know? Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But man, that whole trans joke, that was the best one of last year for sure.
I get people coming into my stream and asking me, they go, is that a bit? It's a bit, right? So you think I made a bit for a whole year? That would be like, so fucked up.
That's commitment. Yeah. That's commitment to a week's rant.
Could you imagine if I said it was a joke at, like after a year?
You should go the whole, dude, go, wait until you have the surgery and then say, it was all a bit. It's all a bit.
I can't see it because leading up until you actually came out, like, in my videos, especially, there were a lot of jokes about your sexuality and the fact that like, you're ambiguous and like, you know, all these like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So
yeah,
I can kind of get it, especially you never know like when an audience member is commenting how much they've consumed. Like maybe they've just hopped in one episode.
Yeah.
Maybe they've
been
following for years. Like you just don't know. Maybe they're joking by being like a joke, you know? So,
oh my God.
Maybe the best thing to do is just not to read anything.
Mm. I like that.
Oh my God, you got
I
it.
I can't read anyway. I lost that ability when I started taking hormones.
Yeah, also your ability to drive, apparently.
Uh-huh.
It's seriously impaired. Cooking.
That's insane. Toby,
cooking.
This is a half joking question. But I just wanna lay it down for you. Would you consider getting a mold made of your penis?
So I can go fuck myself?
Well, not even that, but more so just to be like, to have it after your surgery, you'd be like, oh, if you ever wondered like what my cock looked like, here it is. There's a dick.
I mean,
and you can also like make multiple of them.
Sell them on
eBay. Sell them. You could literally sell them.
Dude, big brain.
Yeah. Well, there's also the other side of, you know, when they're making a vagina, they don't use the balls. So like I'm gonna have two balls. We could gold plate them and sell them.
Dude, you know? you're gonna be able to charity. Keep. Are you gonna be able to keep your testy?
I don't know. I feel like if you asked, they'd maybe let you.
Dude, they have to. It's yours.
Surely you'd make a deal. Yeah,
your property.
Gold plate it. Make it into a necklace.
Dude, a chain like diamonds on it.
You know in Australia, like there was those metal kangaroo balls that people put on the back of their
truck.
Do that with your actual balls. Just spray painted chrome. Piggybacking on Swagger's question from before, I also wonder, like, let's say you've transitioned fully, like, you know, it's the thing of the past, like the fact that, you know, you used to be male. It's like a few years in the future. Would you be comfortable being like, oh, like here's a picture of my penis. Like this is what I used to have. Like, would you ever, or is that always like not with social media, but with like close friends? Not that I want to see your cock. It's just like, I just wonder, like,
kind of seems like
comfort level for you.
Kind of seems like you want to see my cock. Yeah,
what would the relationship?
Well, I would want to see it before it's gone, you know, right?
Yeah, surely give us all a little sauce once.
Yeah, dude. You kind of want to, like, you know, I feel like you owe us is all I'm saying.
The boys.
I think I would be more likely to show someone a mold of it than an actual photo of it.
That's fair enough.
No, I mean, we want to see the actual thing before it's gone, you know, like the day
of. If you all a dildo, like me and Mel Kofik gave us Westlife.
Yes. That'd be pretty sick. I just thought it would be a funny idea, just like in memoriam, like a plank.
Yeah.
Like a tombstone.
Yeah, would be pretty funny.
You just make it into a suction cup and stick it on your wall somewhere with a plaque beneath it saying, there lies.
We can fucking throw it. We can try to throw it onto the roof of the office, see if it sticks.
Just put it right next to your fucking like YouTube plaques and everything.
I guess once you make the mold, you can also just mass produce your cock.
Yeah.
You know? It's true. You can do it out of metal. You can do it out of silicon.
It'll be my first merch piece. You know?
There you go. It's like a bonus.
But the best thing is you could sell it as a combo where it comes with like a fleshlight and a dildo, right? And then they can come with the dildo in the fleshlight. So it's like a little, you know, saving space.
It's like a camper.
Poor we used the word come. you meant in the mail.
Yeah.
Come in the mail.
I meant in the mail, yeah.
You guys ever come in the mail?
I come on the mail.
On the mail. Yeah, just before opening it. Yeah. Yeah, just so that my...
Oh, you guys don't come in mails?
Mm, yeah. I get the joke now.
I come in boxes.
I come in buckets. Yeah. Anyway.
Do you ever wash the buckets?
No, I give them to the poor. Had a... Like, well, for one thing, as we mentioned last podcast here in Melbourne, the coronavirus situation is a lot better. It's actually our seventh day with no cases in a row. So that's...
Is it seven now? It's a whole week?
Yeah. A whole week of no new case days here in Victoria, Australia, which is honestly unbelievable.
Good, man.
Honestly unbelievable. Can't believe that the city and the state beat this thing. But what's great about it is that it's meant that we can actually leave the house a little bit more now and fucking... You know, we actually have some content. Like, me and Swagger went to dinner a couple nights ago. I'm struggling to remember like everything that happened.
We ended up going to a restaurant, some Asian restaurant. Ryan P was there. He invited us out to a dinner just to talk over a couple important things. And then, you know, he did the Ryan P order, which I haven't experienced in months now, 4 or 5 months. So it was like a fucking buffet of all this Asian food coming out onto the fucking table. I was stuffed by like the end of appetizers. I was like, I can't fucking eat anymore. And then he goes, oh, well, lucky for you, we have weed. And so he passes this grinder and bag of weed and papers over to Manuel, who's sitting right next to him. Manuel is his personal assistant. And so he's just grinding it under the table while like waiters are coming by and all that shit. And he's rolling a joint. He rolls two. And then before entrees come out, we're like, all right, let's go outside. Let's smoke or whatever. So we go outside. We're hitting this joint. We're bullshitting. And then this, I'm pretty sure it was like a homeless guy, right? They came around.
We don't know if he was homeless, but he certainly had the appearance of being a bit of a wanderer.
Yeah, he was disheveled. He had a really bad stutter. Yeah, his name was Paul. And this guy that we've never seen before or talked to comes around. He walks past us, and then he perks his head up and looks around and looks at us. And then he goes, "Are you guys smoking weed?" And we're like, "Yeah, mate. You want some? You want some, mate?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'll have a bit. I'll have a little bit." And so like we give him the joint. We're like, "That's yours. Like don't even bother passing that around. Like just have it. It's yours. It's fine." And then he goes, you know, he's like going to shake everybody's hand, and people are just kind of like, COVID, whatever. Fitz just fucking...
I don't know. I just like, you know, when I met, he was a nice man. He extended his hand. I was like, I'm going to shake his hand. But then as soon as I did, I was like, oh, what if I have coronavirus now? What if I am now patient zero?
No.
Yeah, the new one.
But don't worry, I wash my hands afterwards. It's fine.
Right through the hand sanitizer. But he was just around and asking us a bunch of questions. And
it's quite hard to understand. He was honestly quite a nice guy. I think at the end, it was just me, Ryan, and Sam sort of still smoking, and he was having a conversation. And Ryan was like trying to talk to him, but I think he had something going on. I forget. He actually mentioned to Ryan, Was it a car accident? Yeah, something happened. So he's now got a stutter. Like his speech was seriously impaired.
Oh,
like
Lord. Yeah.
His memory seemed really bad as well. Like he would just forget what you were saying to him, like while you were saying it to him, that sort of thing. So it's kind of sad, honestly. Like you got to wonder how many people just get unlucky, get in the car accident, have like serious brain problems, and then like they just are cast aside from whatever position they're in, like your whatever job you have is now gone, and now you're just kind of like wandering the street. So kind of feel bad for all. But we had a chat with him. We fucking stood around and smoked the rest of the joint, and honestly he just seemed happy to just be yawning with some people and like being treated like a person. He was honestly a pretty nice guy. But eventually we kind of had to like go back inside and continue our dinner, which is, I guess, a stark contrast to his reality, unfortunately. Yeah. But, you know, what are we going to do? I can't adopt Paul, unfortunately. But I wish him the best. I wish him the best.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So after we concluded with dinner, we ended up let's go back to Ryan's house. I think it was for like a game of poker. And so we get up, we leave the restaurant, like we're walking down the street. Chad, Anything for Views, was there. And he's like, "Oh, let me go to my car. I'll show you this car." I think he like just got it, didn't he? It's like one of those
fucking... had that for a while. It's a little cube.
Yeah,
he's in it for a while. It's a little funny car that he apparently intends on like fixing up and wrapping and getting worked on it.
So put a fucking Minecraft dirt block wrap on there.
I go to the bathroom, so I miss like the start of it. So you go ahead and tell if it's.
Well, I miss the start of it too. All I know is I was leaving the restaurant, and then from around the corner, I just hear like, "What the fuck happened to my car?" Like Chad just screaming.
No way!
Kind of like around the corner, and Chad's just sort of like standing there, like with his hands up, like making a scene. We're like, "What the hell's going on?" We're getting closer, and then I just hear like people laughing and pointing at his car, and his entire front, the entire front of his car is just like unhinged and like on the ground. It's like someone just reversed into his car and then took off without, you know, leaving a note.
Oh no.
It was a dick move. And I felt bad for Chad, but it was also so funny because this car just looks hilarious on its own. Like Matt, do you actually know what maybe we should.
Yeah. I think it was a Nissan Cube.
Oh, yeah.
There it is. You have to, pour that.
But yeah, it's like this white
that's so funny looking car.
Fucking bumper just like unhinged.
looks even more retarded.
And we're like, we're trying to fix it and like put it back on, but it's just not working. And eventually we realize that Chad just has to drive home without a bumper. So we fucking like unscrewed the license plate and took it off. And
they ripped it off the car.
Oh my god.
The entire front of it does just come off. The car now looks like it's from Borat or something like that. Or Mr. Bean.
It's fucked up.
Oh my god.
And like I get in the car with Chad, just the two of us, and like, I'm holding the license plate like in front of me for the entire ride home. Just like, and, like playing the song, it's the catch-up song that they're like blasting this and driving down the street holding up this license plate with no front on the thing. It was very funny.
Why?
So dumb.
Poor Chad.
But it'll be all right.
He'll be all right.
Yeah, took the front of it home in the van, I think, and then got to Ryan's, and Ryan makes an even bigger point of it by ramming this massive people moving van we have into the back of Chad's car, which is up.
It was like three times.
He
hit it, like backed up, hit it again, and then he like put some pressure on the gas, and he actually ended up moving the car, like maybe like a good half a meter.
Yeah,
no, it was pretty funny.
It was
pretty good.
Yeah,
we ended up going.
Yeah,
you saying?
Well, no, we ended up going where? We just chilled at home, didn't we?
Yeah, we went into Ryan's house, and Ryan has these two French bulldogs. He has Slime and Pepsi. Neither of them, at this current point in time, are desexed. Slime is coming up on a year old. They were waiting to get it, both of them done at the same time so that one dog doesn't bother the other while the other's trying to recover, which I can understand.
Yeah.
But it's getting to a point where now the dogs are kind of like sexually maturing. And, you know, we walk in, you know, Chad also has like a bulldog, a female bulldog. He's got a bitch.
No!
And so.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the scent was kind of on Chad of there being a female dog. And so, you know, Chad's excited to see Slime, and he goes up to Slime, and he's petting Slime. And then all of a sudden, Slime's cock grows, and he just has this massive fucking undulating boner.
And, all the dogs red pocket.
Everyone's fucking looking at it. Everyone's laughing, going like, holy shit.
I didn't grow up with dogs. I've never actually really seen a dog cock up close like that before. It's actually quite a sight. Like,
did Slime get fucking snipped or some shit?
No, not yet.
That's what I'm saying. Is that like he hasn't been de-sexed yet? So this motherfucker is horny as hell, and he's just on Chad, like paws up,
his cock is out. Everyone's going like, ew, gross, ew. And Chad's like, no, Slime, bad. And then, you know, his cock goes away, and then we're chilling for like another 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Chad is sitting on the couch. Slime hops up onto the couch, and, you know, Chad's like, oh, he's back. Like, yeah, doesn't have a boner anymore. Whatever. I'm going to start petting him. He starts petting him, and he's getting excited again. And he starts getting another fucking stiffy. You know, and the thing is now, like, Slime is like really smelling Chad's dog on Chad, and so now he's getting a little bit more like active, and he starts he starts humping the couch. And maybe 5 or 6 thrusts in, he fucking nuts all over the couch, dude. He ejaculates onto the couch. No. He squirts all over the fucking couch. And Chad fucking shoots up. I was right behind it. So I was like, okay, that's come. Ryan, your dog just came on the couch. Slime just fucking nutted on the couch. And he's like, what? I go, there's cum. There's fucking cum on the couch. And everyone's,
oh my God.
Everyone was like, dude, one of our employees, Lauren, was there and she was horrified. She was like, her face was like, it was like disgust and shock and horror. And then she just started fucking laughing that Slime just fucking came on the couch.
What the fuck?
So Ryan had to go grab paper towels, go back to the couch. He had to wipe up the sticky cum and everyone avoided that spot for the rest sticky of the night. Cum. Slime is Ryan's a little coomer, which is great.
Only like 5 pumps, bro. Poor guy,
dude. He must
been a horny little dude. Damn.
Hey, man, doesn't take much when you're just starting to hit puberty, I guess. But yeah, if anything's apparent now to Ryan, it's that he needs to get Slime's nut snipped.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was basically the entirety of the story.
Even last night, it was Ryan's mother's birthday, so we just drove out to see them real quick. It was like way too late. We only stayed for a couple hours. But Ryan's parents have lots of dogs, some of which are female. The one, I don't know which breed, it's like a small dog called Natalie that Slime always really likes to see. And it's kind of hot. Slime and Bipsy went in the room, cock is straight out again, just like fucking like, you're like, you know, no coming took place yesterday, but good. Hammered the point home that we need to get this fucking dog sorted out, or else it's going to be a recurring problem. There's going to be lots of nut to clean up in the future. So, as a straight man, you don't really see a lot of cocks coming in person, you know, like you don't, it's very hard to see that. So, for me to see that from Slime was honestly stupendous, I will say. Absolutely.
That's quite impressive.
Marvelous. I would like to thank him for the opportunity.
Well, Chad pointed at the nut stand. He said, oh, like he could have put that in a vial and sold it, because that's like a purebred British, French bulldog. So, you know, maybe like milk Slime a couple times and make some money.
Where's the Mia Malkova flashlight? Let me get that again.
Dude, don't even suggest that. It's fucking disgusting. All right.
We need to move on from dog cum.
Yucky.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's not every day you see a dog nut on the couch.
I've never seen a dog nut in general.
Yeah, neither have I. It was a first.
Remember that girl on YouTube that used to had a YouTube channel dedicated to teaching people how to fuck their dog?
Wait, what? Please tell me.
What? It was a really big thing. She fucked her dog on a YouTube video. That, right?
Oh, yeah.
Leafy talked about it.
Oh, Shane Dawson.
No, that was
a cat. Yeah, that was a cat.
That's my bad.
Similar thing, though.
That's a joke for legal reasons.
That's a joke.
But she made this video of her dog being like really eager and trying to fuck her. And then she made an entire YouTube channel talking like about like ways to get your dog to fuck you. It was like so bad.
What was like the number one tip? Not that I care, but like what was the number one?
I think it was stuff like peanut butter.
Yeah, that's the meme.
Yes, coerce them with food. How fucking weird.
Yeah,
that's actually weird as fuck.
Isn't that shit illegal? Like, YouTube, can't they just like fucking report that bitch or some shit?
I mean,
or their YouTube channel. I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess it depends. Like, you know, surely we should live in a society where if you want to make a YouTube video about how to get your dog to fuck you, you have a right to do that. Am I right, guys?
It was deemed educational, so it was left up.
Right.
Free speech.
Free speech.
That's horrific.
If man's just uploading straight up porn to YouTube and having it be like a tutorial video with like text and. And like
that's thing.
That's a
thing.
Just like dub over voice. Just mute it and just dub your voice over it.
It's like Microsoft Sam.
It's for commentary.
It's like Microsoft Sam. It's just like in the background, like as you can see, the penis goes fully erect.
Wait, really? Isn't that the, ready to go. Is that the cunt that does like porn. The Nat Geo shit?
Why? Like, are you talking about? Thing. Are you talking about the what is his fucking name? How am I?
Who's the guy
David
that
does
Nat Geo and like Planet Earth and shit?
David Attenborough.
Yeah, yeah.
Here we have a man's erect penis. Penis.
Yeah, I mean, there's genuine educational porn videos on Pornhub and things like that, which I guess is probably a good thing. Like, you know, it's probably better that
it's
someone
a good thing if it's actually good education.
Oh well, yeah, that's what I mean. I think
the only educational porn videos I've seen have been like teachers being like, "I'll give you an A if you suck my dick." Is that what you guys are talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried that. That works.
It's education.
I've got a couple A's.
The only thing I've learned from Pornhub is that I need to invest in a smaller washing machine. You know, like just a
smart.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
It's harder to get out. No, but you know, it's like it is kind of interesting to think that I think that a lot of people in this generation learn about sex from porn, right? Like most of. You know,
yeah.
Like, obviously, talking amongst their peers, but I don't know. Like, how common is it for parents to be giving their kids the sex talk? I don't think it's.
I
got one, but it was just very like scientific and like, here, son, look at these diagrams online. And I was just like, what the fuck am I even looking at?
Just had to be like,
Dad, I want to go back and play baseball. What am I doing? Looking
at this? I was literally drinking a Capri Sun, and my dad's like, all right. Time to look at some diagrams.
Now's the perfect time.
And I was like, all right. And he explains it to me. I was like, we're already learning this in health class. He's like, really? They're teaching you this young? And I was like, yeah. What's the deal? And he goes, yeah, but this is what it looks like. And I was like, yeah, I know. They showed us diagrams at school.
Dad, what are you doing? This is weird. It must be, like, I guess, uncomfortable to bring up with your kids. I definitely remember being taught things in health class, but never, it didn't feel like a very solid education, like what I got in school, at least. I don't know about states, I guess.
We were shown a full-on animation.
From the States, to be real.
We're shown a full-on animation. Matt, were you ever shown this full-on animation of like the cock getting like from flaccid to like fully erect? It was like a fucking animation.
All,
it was fucking like this massive dick across the screen on a fucking projector, dude. It went erect and all the girls in the class went, like that, dude. It's like, oh,
that's
fucking
traumatizing.
Out.
What the fuck? At what age?
This was like the sixth grade. So how old would I have been in the sixth grade? Dad, I would have been like 12 or 13.
Yeah, I remember going to the school library and seeing something in elementary school, primary school. I remember seeing like some kind of animated video for that. But I think that was more about like the social dynamic of like how sex can occur, I guess. And then it was like, Tim's going to a party, and
if you want to get laid, you could do this.
Notice how he's wearing a little bit to increase his chances of getting some sweet pussy.
Did you guys have Harold the Giraffe?
What's Harold the Giraffe?
They have a giraffe. Yeah. The hell?
He was a bit of a G.
What's that?
It was a truck that would drive from school to school, and they would teach people about like their bodies and about drugs and all this stuff. But there was a giraffe called Harold that was a puppet that was in the truck.
Right.
Oh my god. It was such a vibe in that truck. Like there were like stars on the ceiling.
It was
really cool.
Air conditioned. Like
yeah, it was really, it smelled kind of nice. It was weird. Like all the kids would just come into the Carol's bus.
I'd hope not.
Would come out and be like, hey kids, don't do drugs. And you know, if you're gonna have sex, just make sure you're extra careful. And you know,
and that was it. It's like 20 seconds.
But like Harold wasn't
all health topics. Yeah.
Harold wasn't there from the start, so like as a kid you'd go in there and you'd know Harold was gonna show up eventually, but you didn't know when.
Just this boring lady at the beginning.
Yeah.
And he lost funding recently.
Did you guys ever hit the crazy condom lady?
No.
Matt, what about you? You're American. Did you ever get a crazy condom lady come to your school?
What would she do? I remember.
Well, for me, we had a school assembly, so all the kids had to go into the second gym auditorium thing that we had, and we all sat down in these fucking fold-out metal chairs, and we looked straight ahead, and this crazy old woman. She looked like she was maybe in her 60s. Fucking frazzled hair, looked like a hippie, was wearing like a fucking...
Was this like Miss Frizzle, like a hemp, but like...
It was like Miss Frizzle, except like smoking crack.
And I swear, that's a vibe. That's a vibe. I wish she came to my school.
Whenever they bring any speaker in to talk to elementary school kids, it's always just the last person you'd expect them to look like.
They're legit.
Yeah.
The randomest person from the street.
This was in high school. So this lady comes in and she's like, "Hey kids, we're going to be learning about all the different kinds of condoms that you could be using for safe sex. Make sure we're practicing safe sex."
What grade was this again?
This was like 10th, 11th.
Okay, so you're in high school. Okay.
Yeah, it was like 10, 11, 12. So we were like 16, 17. But yeah.
That's way too late, in my opinion, to be learning about condoms.
It is. But like she comes in and she's like, "You could put a condom in your car and have it in the glove box, but you can only keep it in there for like 2 months. Any more, it's a bad thing. Only 1 month if it's in the summer, because the heat will fuck with the latex." She's like, I preferably don't like latex. I use sheepskin because I have an allergy to latex. And she's like using all these condoms. She's pulling out all these different condoms. And she's like, she has like bananas and like dildos that are just like phallic. Like dowels, they're like wooden dowels. They didn't look like realistic cocks, but like she was like showing. She's like, "You know, so basically, you take the condom and you put it over the tip of the penis, like a little sombrero. You make sure that it's pointed up like a little sombrero, and then you roll it down all the way to the base, and then you're good. You got to make sure that you're not using."
Yeah.
But then she started going into like experiences that she's had. She's like, "I've been with a guy who always like guy, you know, Magnum XL condoms because he wanted to show off, but they would always fall off, and then I'd always have to take birth control after." Everyone in the auditorium is like looking at each other like, "What the fuck?"
This wasn't the fucking auditorium. This was like your classroom or some shit. The fuck?
No, it was an auditorium. It was like the fucking entire class.
It was like a presentation.
It was the entire class, like the entire grade was sitting in this auditorium looking at this crazy lady at the front fucking put condoms on bananas.
Shit, I wish I had a crazy condom lady at my school.
Yeah, dude, that's the thing.
Sex ed there.
I feel like it would be more effective if instead of getting a crazy lady with straw hair to come and talk about these things, if they just got like Riley Reid, who's clearly just been through it, you know, and like knows all about it.
Me and Mel Cover.
Like, "Hey kids," like, yeah, or me and Mel Cover, our dear friend.
Safe sex is sexy.
They'd fucking pay attention then. Oh, yeah. You're right. Holy shit.
Yeah, dude, they would. Safe sex is sexy.
That's like a retirement plan for fucking like ex-porn stars right there, bro. I'm telling you now. Become like sex ed teachers, and then the fucking kids will like pay attention and shit.
Yeah,
I just want some Chad to come in and be like, "What's up, bros?
What's up, bros?
When I'm fucking, I make sure to wrap it."
he puts the chair down and he sits on it backwards. He's just like doing this.
On the edge of the chair. I have almost sex every weekend.
I got almost totally stoked with Stace the other weekend at the family day. We're getting fucked
up.
So get this,
kids. Stace is coming up to me. She's like, "Hey, I want to suck your cock." I'm like, "Whoa, Stace, come on, dude. Let's wrap it first. Be safe about this, dude." Way better that way. Way better.
I don't want to give you mouth aids, Stace.
Stace, you know I had chlamydia last month. Let's be safe about this.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we've had some fucked up presentations at our school. Did you guys ever get like drunk driving presentations or?
Oh, they always like, scan you.
Yeah, from a drunk driver. What was it?
Drives yeah, I'm
a drunk. Yeah, he drives to school. He's drunk as fuck. He crashes through the front the building.
It's if you drive drunk like me, then you're definitely gonna hit the principal on the way in, just like I did 20 minutes ago.
Right? The cop's like,
and none of it would have happened if I just showed up sober today.
Did you ever have the what was it, DARE? Did you ever have that program at your school?
Yeah, Swags? Yeah, we had DARE.
That was an American thing. I remember all the drug kids that ended up doing drugs would always wear like the DARE t-shirts, ironically.
Yeah, dude, all the drugos that smoked weed would buy the fucking shirts.
What does it stand for?
Is DARE? It something against...
I'm looking it up.
DARE to resist the fucking anti-drug thing. And really, it just fucking drugs taught kids really all the epic different drugs there was.
I dare you to smoke crack.
It's an acronym.
Drug Abuse Resistance Education Program.
But it's been shown to be like Completely useless.
You look up DARE on Google. DARE drug program. It's like DARE drug program. DARE drug resist drugs and violence. They have DARE drug program failure. So
yeah. Well, it began in the 1980s.
Ronald Reagan.
What's right around the era when the war of drugs started cracking down. Am I wrong? Like, was it part of that?
No, it was a huge part of that. It was with all the fucking ads, like, this is your brain. And there's some fucking lady with an egg. And she's like, this is your brain on drugs. And then she fucking cracks into a frying pan and is fucking bubbling. It's like, no, you dumb bitch. She's not fucking, that's an egg.
These things are delicious.
Did you see the one where it's like the girl sitting on the couch and she like looks like a deflated balloon? And it's like, don't smoke weed. I'm like, bro, fucking hit me up with your guy. I want some shit that makes me feel like that.
There was like the one where
deflated balloon on the couch. I'm like, yo.
There was the one ad where it's like some like young 80s kid with a baseball bat behind the back of his head, and he's like walking down the street. He's like he passes an alleyway, and there's just like this this fucking huge guy with his hood up, and he's just like, "Hey, you want to buy some drugs from me? You want to buy?" And then he turns into a fucking lizard. He turns into like a demonic lizard guy.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he turns into like a fucking demon, and he's like, "It's good for you." And then he sticks his fucking tongue out, and then like it's like, don't do drugs. It's just like, what?
No.
I felt like I was on drugs watching that fucking ad.
Oh my God.
All they did was scare the shit out of kids. All they did was be like, marijuana is bad and it'll ruin your life. And then as soon as people started smoking weed, they were like, that's all bullshit. So surely all the rest of their stuff is bullshit.
Yeah, it's like, what else have they lied to me about?
But that's the problem.
The revolution had like just like started happening, right? Like that was when people were really
starting. That was the 60s, 70s.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I mean. Like, in the grand scheme of things, that's just when, like, that revolution started happening. Yeah. And immediately now they're saying, like, oh, this is bad for you. Like, everyone who had experimented with those drugs in the 60s and 70s is going to be like, what? Like, no, like, we were testing this for therapy. There were all these, like, amazing uses for these drugs. Like, what the hell is this thing? You know, what's going on? Slowed down so much progress with that. Mm. I don't know if it's just because I took shrooms recently, but I've been seeing so many articles popping up lately, like psilocybin, you know, showing.
Oh, yeah, I think once the U.S. just legalized it during the election, they like decriminalized and legalized like some psychedelics, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was either in Washington. I think it was Oregon. I think they used the word legalized. I think
that was decriminalized.
Didn't New Zealand just pass two laws? They're like, yeah, weed's still illegal, but you're allowed to euthanize yourself. So they literally would rather have you kill yourself than do drugs there.
It was a referendum.
I mean, you're allowed to kill yourself anywhere.
Well, you don't need any permission.
It wasn't like they got into parliament. They're like, okay, so we're going to, you know, fucking keep weed illegal. And also it's okay to kill yourself. That's not.
I mean, it's like separate things.
Isn't it assisted suicide?
Euthanasia.
If you're terminally ill and you are going to die because of the illness you have and you're in pain, then you can apply to be euthanized.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Didn't the weed referendum only fail by like 3% or something like that?
Yeah, it was like 54%, I think. Wow.
How the fuck did that happen?
Yeah, 53.5%.
That's crazy.
You know, Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, she voted yes. And everyone was pissed off with her for not telling the country, because they're like, you're the Prime Minister. We want to know which way you're going to vote. You know, we want to.
Yeah, but
you know,
she's responsible.
There's no way.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to sway
exactly.
people's
That's
feelings.
What I said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in the States, certain states now have decriminalized.
Yeah. New Jersey just legalized it. Right underneath New York, they legalized marijuana in New Jersey.
But aren't there also states that have decriminalized all drugs recently?
Yeah. Well, that was Oregon. Oregon completely decriminalized drugs, which is like a good thing. But at the same time, I'm worried that they might not have the existing like infrastructure to kind of like prevent the teething issues of decriminal. And it's decriminalized to like an amount of personal use. So it's under the assumption, I'm under the assumption, I haven't read into the lies. I'm not sure exactly what it says you can and can't do, but I know that it's basically, if you have like a certain amount of drugs, as long as it's enough to qualify for personal use, it's no charge, it's no fine, it's decriminalized. But I wonder if they are going to either make or have like a franchised thing, like a state-run rehabilitation program to get people off of addiction. I wonder if they're going to be instating drug safety and education programs that aren't filled with bullshit 1980s propaganda.
Yeah,
like if they're actually going to teach people all throughout even like maybe the end of middle school to start into high school, like all throughout high school, like this is how like drugs work, like actual course, like pharmacology, like here's how a drug interacts with the brain. Here's how it interacts with your physiology. Like, these are certain terms you need to know. Here's dosage for different drugs. So that if people are going to experiment with drugs and they are decriminalized, that way it's complete harm reduction. It's safe. And it reduces the risk of people overdosing or getting addicted. You know, because a lot of the crime that stems from, you know, drugs is a result of addiction. Because somebody gets addicted to a drug.
A lot of problems.
Yeah. People get addicted to drugs. They spend all their money on the drug, or then they steal, or they get into gangs where, you know, the drugs are around. Yeah. And
they get busted one time for the drugs, and then they can't get a job because they got busted that one time because they had drugs on them. Yeah. Like, well, how am I going to get off the street? How am I going to get employed? And, you know,
It's another really good thing about it.
The equivalent of a country being like, let's just push this mess under the bed instead of actually cleaning it up. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it feels like. It's like fixing the problem. It's like, let's just pretend all these homeless, jobless people don't exist, and we'll still keep punishing them for doing drugs because clearly that's the problem. It's like, well, no. Well,
anyway. Another benefit of decriminalization is if you are a scientific group or something, and you want to do studies or tests or something on illegal substances, that's actually really fucking hard to get your hands on them.
Extremely hard.
Because you obviously have to get your hands on them legally, because otherwise it you can't really do the tests on it and get, you know,
anything. It's illegal.
In Australia, test kits are...
scientists that want to study the drugs themselves.
Not testing the drugs to test the purity, but more so like, you know, I administer like, you know, 50 milligrams of this drug that's illegal, and we have to record the result. Or, you know, we give this guy acid and scan his brain in an MRI.
Where would we be as a society if those experiments and tests weren't shut down in the 80s, man? Like, where the fuck would we be? Probably at a completely different place. That
would
have been
we would have a better understanding of the drugs. And it's just a matter of like whether or not our understanding like allows the drug to have potential to help in therapies or to help in other ways and that kind of shit. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so clear that, you know, generating fear and making something illegal and contraband is just, I mean, that's just going to limit growth. And the problem still exists, you know, like these drugs still exist and they're still being sent around.
Yeah,
but
it
now
makes the
it's
problem
like
worse.
Also illegal and also forbidden. Whereas if you just opened up things a bit and actually was like, well, let's just see what actually goes on when someone, you know, not even for like things like acid and things, but, you know, other like harder drugs, which, you know, you can maybe argue is not worth ever doing. Like if they just did some tests on it and regulated it better, we'd probably be in a very different place. It is crazy.
Yeah.
But it's good to see things changing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If there's one good thing to come out of the election, that, you know, I guess it's in those aspects. Because the rest of that shit, like, we're not even going to get into it. It is a shit show. I am happy to be in Australia right now.
Yeah, hey.
Very, very, very happy.
So everyone always asks me, like, oh, you're American. What's your opinion on this and this? I'm like, bro, I'm over here so I don't have to think about that shit, you know?
It's like, dude, all I know is that there's no COVID here. I went through the lockdown. I'm staying here. You know, it's just...
America had 100,000 cases in one day yesterday.
I know, man. I know.
It's so frustrating when you see online, you know, like... people arguing like, well, Australia only got better because you guys are an island and like you're dealing with way less people. It's like, well, this is actually like really this, especially Victoria, the state that had the most cases, you know, it was really looking like it was going to escalate to like a disproportionate level of it. Coronavirus is a real problem. The state really kind of pulled it together, all things considered, and actually locked down and buckled down and just waited it out.
Yeah, over 100 days.
Hell, but
and like, it's just, it's like, it feels like on the internet, especially, there's such a like tendency in people to just immediately respond to other people's good news with bitterness.
Or just dismissal.
It's like, well,
no,
like,
credit.
You only did that because of this, when instead it should be like, oh, good for you guys. Like, man, I hope that we could, you know, fix things here too. It just seems like a much better.
Yeah,
bro. It's fucking scary whenever I log into Facebook every now and then and see everyone back in like small town America and like the opinions over there of like Corona and shit. It's fucking scary.
A lot of people where I'm from are convinced that it's a fucking hoax. Like people are walking around like fuck it. I don't care. Like everyone is just walking around my hometown, like doing their thing. I think
one of the biggest problems with that is that, like, yeah, obviously we can look at people who think that COVID is a hoax and just dismiss them as being idiots and be like, well, they're just wrong and, you know, all this stuff. But it feels like doing that isn't actually solving the problem. Like, it just feels like there's so much name calling and so much like, I'm right, you're wrong, like in any position that you take these days. So there's all we get as a result of that is just like constant division. And it pays to keep in mind that all these people, like, imagine, let's say you were raised in an environment like by anti-vax, anti-mask, like conspiracy theory parents. You like go to a high school where maybe that's like the general culture. You live in a state where that's the general culture. You have a girlfriend or a partner that like also shares these views. You're just raised and you're just a product of your environment, right? And like, what are we doing to like fix, you know, these perspectives that are, you know, considered by people who are more educated as wrong? Well, we're kind of just insulting them on the internet about it. We're kind of just putting them down and be like, well, they're just fucking idiots. And like, thank God the smart people are, you know, doing the right thing. I don't know. It's like, how do you fix this problem?
Definitely not that way. You don't shame people. You know,
what I'm saying is that that's actually what most people seem to have, you're either a sore winner or you're a sore loser. And there's no real fucking, this doesn't feel like there's a lot of in between in internet culture these days.
There's not a lot of handshaking.
There's also, you know, the case that it's just a noisy majority as well. And the loudest people tend to be the more negative. I suppose it just is a shame to see. I think it just doesn't seem to be getting us anywhere.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother fucking can of worms.
Hopefully,
I think a lot of people view it as like, well, I don't know anyone that's had it, so therefore it doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or like,
it can't be real.
You just need to, like, I think it just pays to remind yourself that people who have these beliefs, like coronavirus is a hoax, they're not actually inherently evil people. They're just a little ignorant and are around a lot of people who share a similar ignorant perspective.
Yeah.
I don't think they're evil. I just think they're fucking dumb.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what do you do about that?
How do you change that?
It's also like they hold these beliefs so strongly because, and like, it's tied to their identity. And then you have other people who really are only trying to solve it by being like, "You're a fucking retard!" Like, how could you believe this? And then that just makes
people aren't inclined to respond well to being insulted.
Exactly. And it's just going both ways, back and forth, constantly. And it just is meaning that there's less and less room in the middle. Less and less room. Sad to see.
Yeah. Well,
so
Ozzy. Oi.
I mean, it happens here too.
I feel like politically, like in the US, it's like you give a political opinion, or it's like, what's your political opinion? And then you say whatever your opinion is. It's just shouting and like argument and like, you know, in a lot of cases, like, you know, a difference in political opinion fucking destroys like relationships. It destroys like a friendship with people that you could have had, you've been friends with for years and years. Like it's extremely divided in that sense. And like, so a lot of people tend to like, either they're full on, like, I'm going to talk about my politics, or they're like, you know, I'm never going to talk about my politics. And here in Australia, like, somebody talks about politics, the other person's just like, shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear about this shit. Like, fucking just shut the fuck up. Nobody cares. Yeah. I don't fucking care. And then it's just like, okay.
You can argue that that's also kind of like maybe worse in a sense, because like maybe that's actually how you get to the other extreme, is by just ignoring the problem. I don't mean to be talking about politics, and I don't think we're really, any of us are here really like trying to say
we haven't.
I kind of agree with the group that's kind of just like shut up, because otherwise you're just like, if you have opinion on politics, you're guaranteed like at least half of people aren't going to agree with it. So you're immediately alienating like half the people there.
Alienating, because it's more important to people to win an argument than to have an argument, you know, like it's what destroys relationships in general. Like a lot of, you know, it's like you'll be getting in an argument with someone and the point isn't actually to resolve anything. It's just to be right. Right. And that's the real problem when it comes to political.
Yeah, fuck you, you're wrong.
The goal isn't actually growth or human prosperity. Yeah. It's just, oh, I'm right, you're wrong. Like, and my identity is right, and my way of living is right, and this is my security, and how dare you threaten that? And then
it's annoying when people are that invested in what they believe. I mean, I have a lot of friends over back home that I talk to every now and then, and I'll talk to them about politics or like the election or what's on the news. And like, you know, my best friend will just go back and forth, like, you know, this and this. No, this and this. No, this and this. Difference of opinion. And then it's just like, all right, well, let's agree to disagree. Like, whatever. How's your day? Like, how's your week been? And then it's back to like a friendship. Yeah. Like,
that's
how
growth occurs. Because it's like you taught them something and maybe you learned something from them, and, you know, or maybe you didn't. That's also okay.
Yeah,
like,
well, you know, it's just at the end of the day, it's just a fucking discussion, isn't it? You know, it's not like nowadays, like, you know, like talking politics is like participating in a gladiatorial arena. Like, like, dude, I see a lot of fucking people like on like the Twitter, dude. Twitter during election, they had election day. Like, I was like, I'm not even gonna fucking tweet anything. Yeah. I was gonna stream that day. I had it scheduled down to stream. I was like, I'm not fucking streaming today. Are you kidding me?
Fuck that.
Like, how
whenever I stream now, I just block out all political words. Just that reason. It's like, that's just asking for trouble.
You know, I'm surprised. As a creator,
yeah, like, for sure. Why would you bother, right?
Like, I never want to discuss politics on any platform that I have a voice on. And a lot of people will call me out for that and say, like, why aren't you...
Yeah, why haven't you taken a stand,
like,
bro? What the fuck?
Why aren't you using your influence? Like, why aren't you, like, telling people to vote a certain way? Like, why aren't you, like, advocating for that? It's just like... Like, because it's like, because people need to make up their own fucking mind. Because people need to do their own fucking research, and people need to, like, to understand where they fall.
All these influences you want to hear from, their opinion, and like who you want to see persuading people to like share your opinion, they're actually just young people. You know, they actually don't have degrees most of the time. They're actually not really any more informed than you are a lot of the time. Like, it's honestly, frankly, irresponsible a lot of the time, as far as I'm concerned, especially when you're taking like a aggressive stance, you know, and you're uninformed.
You know, the one thing that I agree with was people trying to get people registered to vote. Because, you know, they're not telling people who to vote for. Like, they're just telling people
just
to vote.
Go vote. That's a good one.
You know, I didn't even do that because I don't even want to be a part of it. I don't want to be a part of this fucking heightened political thing. Like, why even dip my toes into it? Like, everybody fucking knows. If you're on the internet, everyone fucking knows. Register to vote. And the people that don't want to aren't going to, but the people that, like, do are. So, like, what is my voice, like, matter when all the timeline for, like, the last 3 weeks has been everyone register. Why add it to the pile? To virtue signal? To tell, like, just be like, I'm part of it. I'm part of people. I'm part of the change. Like, no. I fucking play video games and make dead baby jokes. I'll keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, and that's your contribution. And honestly, it's probably more valuable in some ways than, you know, fucking taking an aggressive stance and trying to hammer it home with your audience when you're still growing and changing and learning and all that stuff. Like, and it also pays to remember that although it at times like this, it feels like the entire world's American. They're actually fucking not. And although Swagger's an American creator, he's from American, that is too. Like, you know, because like we get, I'm sure you guys get questioned about it and like asked for it.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, obviously it's an important election and America's a very big place with a lot of influence in the world, but it's also not the only place in the world. And yeah, there, like all the internal struggles and division in America actually isn't entirely relevant to the rest of us, you know? Like, so.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck about the election.
Yeah, like
people keep like telling me like numbers and stuff, and I'm like, I just don't care.
This leaks it's out
nothing
everywhere.
To do with me.
Yeah, it's wild. I don't know. Very tense times. You can understand why there's so much pressure around it, but I just think that I just find it like crazy that you need to. It almost feels like these days you need to pick an ideology and stick to everything about that ideology, or you're, you know, you don't have a firm belief in anything. It's like, why can't you just? These are all just man, like human created structures and ideas and systems of belief. Like you can actually pick and choose from a wide variety of things that you consider your values, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to align with another person's for you both to be good people.
Yeah. And your, all of your values don't have to be, these are the values of the side that I like. And these are the values of the side that the other people like. You can pick and choose from both sides, and
yeah,
you
can be like, you can be
way,
like,
you know?
I want gay married couples to protect their marijuana plants with guns.
Why not?
Yeah,
why not?
I want Christian gay married couples to fight the fucking government.
You know, I just think there's a desire in everyone to paint things black and white because it simplifies things and it makes things easier to understand and easier to manage and easier to explain and honestly easier
to paint things red and blue.
Thinking, well, true. I mean, I'm not even talking about America right now. I'm just talking about people in general because it's not an American problem. It's a human problem. It's just you know, I think more evident now more than ever.
Yeah, it's more and more like people becoming like a part of a tribe, like this is my identity, like I am this and you're that, you're an enemy.
You belong to like a group.
Yeah, and each group thinks that the other side is hell bent on like destroying what they love. Mm-hmm. And so like there's no room, like there's no room to discuss. And like there's no way to discuss if you're just fucking screaming at each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah.
It's times like this more than ever that it just pays to be a human being, I think. And to I don't know, just fucking like think critically, educate yourself, and you know, hopefully influence the people around you positively. That's really your only obligation as a person, I think, in this world. Like you can go above and beyond and you can do a hell of a lot less, but you know, if you're shooting for that, then you're all right in my books. So, yeah.
And I'm Fitz, and I approve this message.
But you're voting for Fitz? What the fuck, bro?
You can't do that. Guys, did you guys hear about the Melbourne cop?
The what?
Oh, the fucking horse, bro.
Yeah. Oh, all of a sudden, everyone likes horses over here. Yeah,
no, dude. Like, no, all I'm saying is that the Melbourne cop, for people that aren't aware, the Melbourne cop is a horse race. They get a bunch of horses and they make them race around a track. And it's cruel and it's unusual. And I don't like it. I think horses should only be used in war. That is the only ethical thing. Otherwise, like horses, like for our entertainment, getting injured, no. But to protect our ideas and values, well, yeah, they're making a worthy sacrifice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yo, but otherwise, the Melbourne Cup, because when it was here last time, we got kicked out of our Airbnb and all the reservations.
Yeah, I was
going to
go
fuck
out for fucking.
Cup.
Dude, I was going to go out for ramen on fucking Tuesday and oops, it's closed because they're abusing horses. Okay.
But
what happened?
It smells.
There's a horse that broke its leg during the race and they euthanized it.
Fucking shot it.
It was a horse that made the rider $5 million in prize money. And it was like one of the top rated horses. And I assume in the cup or the world or some shit, I'm not entirely sure, but it broke its leg and they're just like, fuck you, bang.
Jesus. Yep. Can horses live with a broken leg?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
I think that's why they have to kill a horse when it breaks its leg.
I think they like live in pain their entire life.
Yeah, like
life.
It's impossible to fix.
Because like realistically, if a horse could, if they could keep the horse alive and it be, you know, happy and okay that it's, you know, surely recovering, then they would keep it alive because they could keep using its like sperm and shit to make,
you know, better give it like
those
new horses
thing they give the dogs.
They're like,
put, like,
guys,
wheels on the
guys, before you shoot it, let's jack it off and just, like, and get, like, get some sperm.
All I'm trying to prove here, all I'm trying to prove here is that clearly, if they're euthanizing it, there's probably a reason for it.
Well, yeah, that's but true. It's still but not a good fuck. Fucking look for the horse race.
$5 million,
oh,
bro.
Oh, horse broke its leg. Bang.
Bang.
We don't need to bring up again just how dumb horses are, okay?
Yeah, like, horses are pretty fucking stupid.
They have small brains and they're dumb as hell. But dude, this does make me sad to hear, and I don't want horses to die. I want horses to live their best life.
In horse-related news, I actually read an article. You know, in the way that dogs, they get attached to a particular human, like they see one human over another and they're like, that's my owner. I love this guy, or I love this girl. Like, they're amazing. I love him. But yeah, anyone else, they're like, oh, I don't really know who you are, but I'm still comfortable around you. With horses, they're comfortable around people in general. The studies that they did measured a horse's heartbeat. So its heartbeat's faster when there's, like, nobody around, because it's more nervous. But when it has people around it, I think evolutionarily it gets calm. But there's no distinction between a random person being around it or its owner being around it. So they're making the argument that a horse doesn't really have a bond with any particular human. They're just kind of like okay with most humans, right? So horses, in other words, fuck horses because they don't care about us.
But this, what the fuck?
And speaking of horses, my throat's actually quite hoarse. I think it might be time to wrap up.
That's
the show.
That's true. Right. That's a good note to end it on.
Good fuck joke. Horses.
No, fuck not horses. Fuck horses.
Be a good person and fuck horses.
Yes.
Okay. On YouTube for educational purposes.
Yeah.
Yes. Guys, thanks for listening to another episode of the Misfits Podcast. It's been lovely spending time with you. Hope you enjoyed the conversation.
Sponsored by GamerSubs.
Sponsored by GamerSubs, as always.
GamerSubs.gg. Code Misfits. 10% off.
We'll see you guys next week.
Maybe live in person.
Maybe.
Oh. Yeah, maybe.
Wow.
Get that set up.
Sorry, Kobe.
That's all right. I'll be home soon enough.
Back soon.
We'll be home soon enough.
Love you guys. Right. Have a good one.
Bye.
Later, boys.
Catch you later.